I'm Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
And I'm Chad Theodore Logan.
Yeah!
And we're Wild
everybody, and welcome to Generation Goat. I'm John Martin of songsthatsavedyourlife.com and all the more these days, listen.com. And with me, as always, is E. Christopher Clark of the soon-to-be-returned geekforce5.com and everywhere else I look online. How's it going, Chris?
It's going. You know, when I'm not being everywhere online, I'm home with the baby most of the time. Home with the baby because I lost my job and gained another job I'm not very good at.
Sorry, I'm told you're supposed to turn a negative into a positive, so.
I mean, I've written about it online. Yeah. Anyone who cares has already read it, I'm sure. But it was a positive move for the company and a positive move for me. But no, I'm home with the baby a lot, and she is... I don't know. It's been 4 years since I was home with a baby, so I had forgotten how either she is much more temperamental and demanding, or I've just forgotten that all babies are temperamental and demanding.
Chances are you blocked it out of mind.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it is. Because I look at my four-year-old and she's so self-sufficient and, you know, generally can do everything herself, and I think she was never like this.
Yeah. You know, God, Kaylee, the four-year-old, for those who don't know,
yes.
Which would be weird because you're listening to this podcast. And...
yeah.
Yeah. God, she's going to be starting kindergarten soon, isn't she?
Yeah.
Is it going to be this year or next year? I think we lost the goat, sir.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the solo Generation Goat. welcome back, sir.
Welcome back. I don't know what happened, man.
That's all right. I brought up kindergarten and the fates smote us. So.
Yeah, well, you know, kindergarten is a dangerous topic for the computer. The computer doesn't like
probably some sort of kindergarten cop or something.
Yeah, well, I think the internet is probably, you know, has probably had paste put into it by kindergartners or
stupid tubes.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, it's funny, actually, we'll get back to the subject, but just a couple days ago, Nora, my girlfriend, brought up Kindergarten Cop as if it were a movie everyone should know. But I think we were talking about an actor, maybe, and she was like, well, yeah, and Kindergarten Cop. And it was like, yeah. And it'd be like someone referencing Ladybugs, you know, that Rodney movie.
Oh my god.
As if it were Citizen Kane, you know. Oh yeah, right. Ladybugs, where he's...
I had completely forgotten about Ladybugs.
That's what we're here for.
I wish that now I've got to look it up, because what was the name of the kid who dressed up as a girl in Ladybugs?
Oh, I don't know. If anybody knows that, then I think we owe them a prize.
Yes. All right, people. Have you guessed yet? Have you guessed? It was Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, well, what else has he been in? Oh, wait, he was in Sequest.
Yes.
There we go. Wow, that took a wrong turn.
Oh, my word. He's older than me.
Oh.
By a year and a half.
Wow. Well, that's okay, then.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I
don't mean to make fun of Nora. I just think it's adorable when she, you know, she's had a very different upbringing on this side of the ocean. And
right.
it's kind of surprising what gains traction where, I think. For instance, like, she's familiar with Falco's other songs.
They made other songs?
Yeah, no, apparently he was in this video sequence involving Beanie? Yeah, that sounds right. And there's a whole video sequence, and you know, she's also familiar with, you know, some of ABBA's deeper cuts, which is, you know, unheard of outside of certain parts of the theater district. So,
well, yeah.
Anyway,
well, but now that Mamma Mia has been out for a couple of years, it's true. You know,
true.
It has reminded my parents. Well, it reminded my dad. He was the one that, like, he's like,
the joy of ABBA.
This movie. when the movie came out, he was just all about, you got to see this movie, you got to see this movie. He and my mother went and saw it in the movie theater. The moment it came out on video, we went over that weekend, and he's like, you got to see it. We sat down, and he and I was like, all right, Dad. And now Kaylee is obsessed with ABBA because of it. And ABBA is either the first or the second thing that comes up alphabetically in my iTunes.
Right.
So she, if she sees it sitting there on the screen, she's like, Mamma Mia, I want to listen to her.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
No. So
I
no,
know,
I
though, you, a you bit... get your comeuppance for being the pop junkie you are. That's...
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, why do I have ABBA anyway?
Even I have some. I had a hard time believing that the other day, and then I realized, oh, right. I used to share a folder on the network with my dad, and he would download stuff. And yeah, there's some pretty odd stuff in there.
Yeah.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. So she knows ABBA, and she knows it wasn't the Rodney Dangerfield movie that she knew. It was the Arnold movie, Kindergarten Cop. Which brings us back to kindergarten.
Brings us back to kindergarten. Look at that, folks. That Kevin Bacon.
We can get back on track. It's possible.
Kindergarten's going to be our Kevin Bacon. Let's see how it is. All right. So now that we've built up enough suspense, is the kid going to kindergarten at all, or is she actually skipping a year? And, you know.
No, she'll go to kindergarten, but she'll go to kindergarten when she's like 5 and a half.
All right. Okay.
She'll be a little bit older. She's always, she's moved up slower in all of the classes at daycare as well, because she's sort of on the, as a March baby, she's sort of on the cusp of, if they can afford to keep some people back, they end up keeping her back. So yeah, it just works out that way. But there was a kindergarten graduation last night, so a couple years from now, she'll be graduating.
They do kindergarten graduations?
They do graduations for everything.
Really? I never heard of kindergarten graduation.
I just read about somebody else's, I went to high school with, you went to high school, whatever. She was not someone I knew very well, so
okay.
That's why I said
what was her first name?
Karen.
Okay.
She was in my grade, and I guess I kind of knew her, but I knew that you wouldn't know her, so
good
I...
Good story.
Yeah, anyway.
This is excellent listening.
Karen's kids, one of them just graduated from kindergarten, so I realized it was not just an isolated daycare thing.
I didn't understand that. That's craziness. I don't know. Was there a valedictorian?
I don't know. You know, the reason that I was there, and this is silly. They wanted a microphone, and
sure. Well, you got to hear the speeches.
Yeah, exactly. And I have done this setup for a couple of birthday parties recently, where I brought my iMac and I brought the microphone that I have, and we did the setup. And Stephanie thought of that when they were deciding how to do kindergarten graduation. So I bring my whole rig to the daycare center, and all I'm given to work with is a countertop next to the sink.
God, amateurs. Unbreakable.
And I'm just like, well, it was supposed to be outside originally, and I think that's why they wanted me to come. And it was rainy yesterday, so we were doing it inside. And the room that they chose had enough room for the graduation, but it really didn't need a microphone. And it wasn't until I set up that I sort of turned it. I'm like, this isn't going to work. And it's right behind the place where they have all their little diplomas and whatever that they're going to hand to the kids. And when people are taking pictures of that, there's going to be this mess of computer wires right behind it for virtually no benefit. You know, you could just, I mean, it was no bigger than a classroom that, that you or I might teach in. And yes, you have a bunch of toddlers that you're, or not toddlers, but kindergartners that maybe are not going to be as quiet as college students. Halfway through that sentence, I realized college students aren't quiet either.
No, the kindergarten kids probably sat on the floor and fell asleep. That's
Well, they were all dressed up nice and they had little gowns and whatever. But I eventually, I just sort of took off because I had failed at being the sound guy. And came back home, listened to the baby scream some more, and cried myself to sleep.
You know, my college graduation, it's funny, you said that, and it reminded me of the lasting impression I got of UMass students. I remember this woman, Barbara Ehrenreich, came to speak to us, who wrote a book called Nickel and Dime, which was about the plight of people living on tips and low-wage income in this country. And she was going on about something, about maybe the great character in, or the dignity of the average person or something like that. And I remember that someone sitting near me was like, "Oh, dude, I got bong water all over my gown." Like, yep. Perfect. There was a marked contrast from my Cambridge graduation, which was actually in Latin, and I had to kneel and swear a medieval oath of fealty to the university. Not kidding. So, you know, there you go. But
I still have yet to have my graduation in Latin. I look forward to that.
It was interesting. You get marched in a little rows, and the person you're with has to attest to your good character in Latin, while the chancellor sits on his little throne like the emperor. And then his herald, standing behind him, has to accept the attestation of good character and then summons you forth, name by name, awards you the degree in Latin while you're kneeling with your hands kind of up in a triangle. And the chancellor clasps his hands around your hands and accepts your oath of loyalty. And then you leave the room.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know where they get all these funny ideas about fancy education.
I don't know either.
People, you know, participate in it, but it was fun. I liked it, except nobody came. So, you know, no one will ever believe me. Like, no, it really happened. Ask anybody else who went to Cambridge. I guess we could all be in it. Yeah, thank you. There is a photograph somewhere.
Oh, well, there you go. Photograph, you know. That work,
but yeah, good times. Anyway. So we actually wrote down a few things to talk about this week.
We did, and I don't know why. I
almost like we care about quality.
I just thought about something that doesn't.
Something not on the list. Imagine.
Well,
that.
No, but it does. It kind of does, and it's
bring
kind
it.
Of a way to lead into something that is on the list,
okay.
And that was. This didn't happen, but wait, did it happen? I don't know. Anyway.
Awesome. You know what? Related to that story, to this one time.
At band camp?
No. This one time, you know, like we were, where were we? The beach? No. A funeral? No. Hang on. Denny's. We were at Denny's. And was it a guy? Maybe it was Ken Mills? Maybe it was, maybe it was Jesus. No.
Maybe.
It was, the band Kiss, they were, you remember in high school? Yeah, see?
I do.
That's how our podcast sounds right now.
Yes.
Anyway, carry on.
Well, halfway through it, I started trying to figure out, like, date-wise when this particular event happened.
This is not a
and
date. This is a goat.
What's
it? Nothing. I'm just pointing out we're not on a date. This is goating.
I'm thinking maybe we talked about it in the last goat, and so now I'm just repeating myself.
That's okay. At this point, content would be good.
So I was thinking about having gone out to
I'll tell you what,
high school.
Previously
musical.
On goat.
Previously on goat. I went out to the musical at our old high school, and I can't remember if we talked about that.
Who cares?
Last.
So what happened at the musical at your old high school?
Well, we we started off at what used to be the Ground Round in Chelmsford, and is now kind of a
toughest place.
Yeah, yeah. And it was very weird to walk into a place that looked like you were walking into a swank bar in Cambridge.
Yeah, for the record, the name of the place is Moonstones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you walked in there and you're kind of like, wait, am I still in my hometown? What is going on here? Someone ate a flaming log of meat, which ties into one thing I'm going to talk about.
Nice.
And of course, the musical ties into... Now. Something else, yeah, it was interesting to get drunk with people from high school and then go see a musical. Which
you
was,
went after you pre-gamed a musical.
Yeah, we pre-gamed.
Our high school productions were never that bad.
No, but this was and the production wasn't bad. It was just what the hell play was it? Hello Dolly.
Okay.
Which when I asked my wife, because we never get to go out anywhere, I said, hey, you want to go to the musical with me? And she's like, oh,
you're just going to get drunk and pass out halfway through the first act again.
No, she said, oh, that might be fun. What musical is it? And I said, Hello Dolly. And she's like, oh, that's all right. Because I guess she had seen it before. And it's one of those that you only need to see once.
Yep.
I didn't go with her. But yeah, we needed to drink in order to get through the musical.
And then after, weren't actually drinking through the performance. Said, "Hello, everybody, drink."
there were no flasks, as far as I know. But it was a fun experience. And then afterwards, we had an adventure trying to find some place to drink afterwards in Chelmsford.
Hello.
Well, that's where we ended up. I don't know why that isn't where we started.
I mean, it's the only thing open. Hello. Yeah.
Pretty much. That's where we ended up. So anyway, I bring all of that up because I saw that you, on our list of things that you wanted to talk about, you wanted to talk about Glee, which I know is not about musicals.
Oh, Glee.
But what about Glee? I have not seen the show. What's the deal?
So, okay, look. I had never intended to watch the show. It wasn't on my list of things to do.
Sure, sure.
I'm not really sure what happened. As I wrote to you, I was just digging out the email now. I wrote to you on the 2nd of this month and said, in the span of 10 minutes, Glee, Kanye, and Journey have all made it through my cultural firewall. I think the cry for help. And I've concluded it wasn't a cry for help so much as it was an admission that summer television is horrible.
Yes.
And I was doing fine. So the premise of the show, it revolves around a high school glee club. And there are, of course, you know, a bunch of ragtag misfits thrown together by fate and circumstance. because the strange man who runs the whole thing wants to restore the Glee Club to its former glory, I guess, to work out some of his issues from when he was a student. So, okay. You know, and there's, of course, an antagonist in the form of the head cheerleader coach, and they go back and forth. But basically, in every week, there's some sort of life lesson that needs to be resolved, and they do this through a medley of songs.
Gotcha.
Which have, you know, featured Vanilla Ice and the band Kiss and recently Queen and Journey for the second time and on and on and on. And the productions are reasonably good, although I will say that there's a fair bit of auto-tuning and it makes me sad, but in a subtle way, in the, oh, that kid cracked his voice away, so we just fixed it in post, which makes me a little sad. But it is occasionally funny, and it, you know, it's entertaining, even if it makes me uncomfortable that I've been watching it. You know, but it leads to weird results. Like the other day, I just wanted to listen to Journey and Queen all day, which, I mean, I like the 70s in theory, but that's never actually happened to me before.
No, but you know,
I like Queen, but, you know, like everybody else, you go through that big high school period of liking Queen, and then
right.
you go off the Queen for a while, you know, yeah. because it's worn out. So yeah, I realized halfway through Bicycle Race that some Queen cannot be resurrected. but yes, but as I wrote to you the other day, I've gone off the Glee, because which does sound like breaking a drug habit.
Yes.
Because I was watching it and somebody said, oh, let's do it old school, and here's a classic or something like that, and they started singing One by U2. And I was like, oh, all right, no. Look, kid who was probably born in 1990, I don't want to hear about it. I was so sad, and it makes me sad too, actually, when I teach my students, and I'm like, oh my god, all of you were born after grunge. Oh my god.
Yeah. And, there's something wrong.
You know, I have these problems with Nora all the time, and Nora and I are only a few years different, and at the same time, Nora's like, wait, Space Invaders? What's that?
Oh no.
What's Pac-Man? Well, actually, I think she got Pac-Man, but, you know, not familiar at all with the golden age of video games. And
has she... Yeah. Has she been with you on one of the Fun Spot trips? Not, she hasn't been on any of the ones I've been on, but...
No, Nora did not make it to Fun Spot. Not yet.
There you go. Something to remedy next time.
I know. It's unbelievable. But then it's going to cost a lot of money to walk her through everything. But,
it's true.
But it's got to be done. But yeah, no, there's all kinds of, like, random 80s things where she just stares at me like, yeah.
And yet she knows kindergarten. Well, I guess that's a 90s thing, isn't it?
Yeah, or well, late. I mean, you know, she comes from the third world. I think what happened was we sent them a lot of DVDs and CDs and stuff, or videotapes, you know, probably. Right.
Yes, when we all got rid of our VHS tapes, we shipped them off to...
Yeah, like, while we were sending food to Ethiopia, we were like, oh, they need culture, so let's send them Kindergarten Cop, everybody? Yeah? Twins? Oh, let's send them Twins. How's that?
Hey, I like that pairing. That's like one of those ones... Have you been in... probably not, because you're in England. In Target now, there are... this shows you how low DVD has sunk compared to Blu-ray. There are now 4-packs, like 4 movies in a single, like, thin DVD case for $10.
Wow.
So, like, you can get all 4 of the original Superman movies or all 4 Batmans, but then there are weird combinations of things.
Yeah.
So I think that that Twins and Kindergarten Cop, that's
probably out there.
That's probably out there, yeah.
You know, it's funny, too, because, like, most people don't have the setup to really display their Blu-ray in the fidelity that it can be displayed.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like Laserdisc. Like, a lot of movies, because my laptop is my sole source of entertainment in England, and it has a Blu-ray player. And occasionally, because I have a DVD rental thing, I will get Blu-ray discs instead just to see, you know, because it doesn't cost me anything different. And it's like Laserdisc, where a lot of VHS movies were just straight converted to laser, and the quality was never improved. And sometimes you get these Blu-rays of, like, 80s movies, and... they look like VHS tapes because they haven't actually modified them. And
yeah.
It's kind of an amazing scam to me.
And then they'll just do it again when they get to, like, whatever the next Super HD or whatever they call
it. Absolutely. I think the only one I ever saw, maybe it was Warner Brothers, maybe it was somebody else, was if you already owned the DVD version of a movie, they were giving you, like, a coupon, basically, for a much cheaper Blu-ray edition of their movie. But it was only with, you know, their movies, obviously. But I thought that was a nice idea. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some other solution is already in the, quote, cloud and will make its way to us at some point.
Right. I mean, I think they are going to get to the point where they reach a technology that the human eye just can't distinguish. Yeah. And so that's, I think, part of why 3D is becoming... a thing, because they want that to be the next thing that they're selling. Like, they've moved a significant portion of people up to high def, and now they want to move them up to 3D while they're working on whatever the next thing is. And I think 3D is stupid, personally. But
well, I mean, most of the time,
I don't know. I didn't get to see Avatar. So
well, see, that was the one movie I ever saw where I thought okay, wow, actually 3D is adding something to this movie. Because it wasn't about, like, oh no, the shark is jumping out of the screen all the time. It was like, oh, look, those little things are just kind of floating in the air, you know? Like, yeah. They're almost imperceptible, but...
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind
of... I could see where a movie like that would work.
Yeah, I don't know. That one, for me, was the one that I would, you know, see again in 3D very happily. Which I guess I may get the chance to, because apparently they're thinking about re-releasing the extended version this year. So, we shall see.
That would be
so neat. Yeah.
That's one that I regret I didn't get to see in the theater.
It was really great. I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, it's just too good. How did we get there from Flaming Meat?
I think we talked about Glee for a little bit. Yeah.
For a very little bit. No, you know, I would suggest to people that they watch an episode, but, you know.
And you realize that now my job as official soundtrack guy is to find a song from Glee. I'm going to have to buy one and throw it under here somewhere.
Well, I think there's a blog I know somewhere that gives them out each week after the episode.
Oh, there you go.
See what we can do. But, Glee.
I don't know
how it happened, man. Everything went off the air. Lost went off the air, mm-hmm. and all the comedies I were watching are done for the season now, and you know, even Top Chef Masters is done, and
you know what I realized with Lost off the air, there isn't anything that I am watching. Like I've been watching Heroes the last couple of seasons. Haven't watched this most recent one, but I've been watching those sort of all at once over the summer, just by happenstance. I'll like buy it on iTunes and then just never get around to watching it.
Yeah.
And same thing with Smallville, although my wife's been watching those, Stephanie's been watching those, and I haven't. So there's like nothing left now that Lost is off. And I wonder whether the TV section of Geek Force will suffer because of that, or whether I'll just go around to talking about old TV shows.
I think you might have to. The summer's a really rough time for...
Yeah, and a bad time to relaunch. Well, I mean, there are movies out. And the thing... That's the thing. Being a pull-ass bastard now, even more so than I was before, don't get to go out and see these movies that I'm talking about. So I've been talking about it with Stephanie. I said, like, look, I'm running this pop culture site, and all I ever get to talk about is the hype surrounding things and never actually talk about the things themselves. And in reality, like, what I'm most interested in is the stories. And so I enjoy the hype. But I think it's been disappointing to me that I never get, very rarely do I get to actually talk about the finished product. Unless I'm to go and hunt down, you know, people who have filmed it, you know, with a camera in the movie theater on the internet. Like, you know, and that just doesn't seem the way to do it. But so, I mean, being without a job, I've been thinking about all the sorts of ways that things... converge on my sort of central idea of what I want to do, and you know.
Well, what have you come up with?
Well, I mean, what I've come up with is that I am all about stories, and and I want to write great stories, primarily fiction. I want to learn everything I can about stories, and then I want to teach and share everything that I've learned about stories, and so. In order to do that middle part of learning about stories and reading good stories, I need to be able to either spend money or get stuff for free.
Right.
And so, you know, the library helps with some of that if I want to pick up books, but Geek Force isn't really about, I can throw a book in there, but generally it's not a lit blog.
We don't read, sir.
I know. Yeah.
That's why we watch these.
I mean, I don't have enough money to buy comics, really. So I know there are places online that I could get the comics. I prefer not to do that.
Yeah.
I tend to come to things really late because of being broke. So Kick-Ass, I happened to have a Borders gift card, and my dad happened to have a coupon, and it just so aligned that just recently I was able to get the Kick-Ass graphic novel.
Yeah.
And that's a couple years late. You know, like everyone that I know was talking about it a year or two ago. That's, I don't know how I got there, but that's a struggle that I'm dealing with, is how to be writing about trends in pop culture when you can't afford to participate in pop culture.
Yeah, that is sort of an interesting problem. I mean, some stuff you can get fairly easily for free, as I discovered, you know, with my music blog. There's always something out there, but, you know, again, it doesn't really substitute for going to shows.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess the nice thing is that I'm writing about a lot of people who it's quite affordable to go and see.
Right.
You know, you can still, as I discovered the other day, go see Au Revoir Simone in Cambridge for $12.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And I think that's part of it. I mean, and it's actually part of our job, right, is to let people know about things that they don't necessarily know about yet. Because a million people are going to be talking about Iron Man 2, but... not as many people are going to be talking about How to Survive the Strange, which is this every couple weeks Bob Vila Vampire Hunter miniseries.
I had no idea.
My friends John Herman and Brian White put it together, and it's the first one was about how to survive a zombie attack with the back of a hammer. And the second one was about using ESP to communicate with your household appliances. It's good stuff.
I'll have to check that out.
But so like that and
where can
and
we
the band,
find it, sir?
What's that?
Where can we find it?
How to survive the strange .wordpress.com, I think. It's also shortstream.tv is sort of Portsmouth's online local TV station, so to speak. And
sorry, I didn't mean to break your flow, but
no. Thank you for letting me plug it. But
that's right.
That and the bands that you
said. Thank you. We know who the boss of this goat is. Sorry.
But that stuff and the stuff that you're plugging, you know, lesser known bands and things like that, probably we should spend more time talking about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, lots of people on my site I have seen from experience like to talk about the big comic book movies.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, and we should, because, I mean, if you're just interested in, I guess, pop culture or, I don't know, the consequences of... you know, something geeky making it successful, making its way in the world, then it's worth talking about. Like, okay, so you've got How to Survive the Strange, which is kind of, you know, lesser known, but maybe perhaps more palatable to the hardcore geek because it's lesser known, you know,
right,
for that music snobbery kind of way. But Iron Man 2 is what a lot of people are going to say, this summer's sci-fi comic book blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know from experience that that's going to shape the public understanding of what comic books and sci-fi are. So, you know, it's perfectly legitimate to talk about those things, too. I mean, there's kind of a meta-critical importance to them, he says, trying not to fall back in his dissertation. it's tricky. Music you can get, and I mean comics you can even like browse at a store,
depending on what store. There are some stores around that are that actually have signs up that said this is not a library and things like that.
What are you allowed, like two page turns to decide if you want it?
And you know, I think one of the ones that's like that is the Comic Store in Southern New Hampshire, which of course are the comic book store that we frequented, Hot Comics, back in the day, got its comics from the Comic Store. So we have some experience with those guys, and I'm pretty sure I went to one of their locations recently and had a sign up that said, this is not a library.
Wow. Well, I gotta say, I mean, the Comic Store, because we usually went to the one in Nashua to pick up stuff.
Yeah.
It never, like, this is not meant to be a mean podcast, but it was never the most welcoming of places. It's a very, very large comic book store. It has a really great, if my opinion, overly priced selection. But, you know, I primarily went in there because there was some Dungeons & Dragons book that I didn't have, you know, and they had most of them. And I remember going there to get the Tome of Magic when it came out, the second edition Tome of Magic. And, you know, I like, oh, yay, it's here. And I started flipping through it. And exactly what you said, they were like, excuse me, you have to buy that if you want to read it. I'm like, well, it costs $30. I'd like to see if I want to buy it first.
Right.
Thanks. And I've never liked that about stores like that. I mean, it, you know, the people who buy comic books don't buy them because, oh, I haven't read that yet. I mean, okay, that's part of it. But the people who actually purchase comic books on a day-to-day basis are buying them because, oh, I collect that comic. You know, right. They're going to buy it anyway, even if their friend read the whole thing to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it really shoots you in the foot because it, you know, again, I think this privileges well-known books because, okay, I don't need to flip through Incredible Hulk to know what it's about. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. But this random Dark Horse comic or even a smaller company, you know, that I don't necessarily know. Well, if I can't flip through it, I'm not going to give you $3 for it.
Right. And increasingly getting up to $4. I mean, they're just getting ridiculously priced. While we're bashing, I should say, one of the places that was...
I don't mean to be entirely negative about...
Oh, no, you know, that's what I was going to do. I was going to say, one of the places I had a good experience with when I was working in Kenmore Square was Comicopia. Now, I have some friends who I think had a bad experience with them related to something else. But in terms of browsing, I could go into Comicopia and check out whatever, and I was on a very limited budget, so I would check out a bunch of stuff and decide what was worth my time. And that's how I was keeping up on things for a while, was they didn't care, you know, because they knew eventually you would buy stuff. And it goes to this whole model that's sort of emerging on the internet of this is why bands are giving stuff away for free, this is why filmmakers are giving stuff away for free, because there's the hope that by giving a little bit away for free, that you're eventually going to become a paying customer.
Well, I think there's also a recognition that it's stupidly easy to share stuff, you know, in its entirety for free. So there's, you know, kind of a sense of, well, all right, look, you know, whether we want to give it away or not, people are going to give it away. So why don't we do it in a way that makes people more interested in coming to our site, seeing who we are, seeing what we're doing.
Or in the case of a retail place, coming to our store. You know, I'm going to a store tonight, actually, for the kickoff to the 48-hour film festival here in New Hampshire. I'm going to be at Double Midnight Comics in Manch, Vegas.
Crazy.
And I can't, maybe they're one of the ones that has the no browsing. I don't know. They have a whole room out back, which is a gaming room.
Cool.
You know, I think back, like, man, if there weren't good established ones around, then I would totally, and I had some money and some business sense, I would totally open up a comic shop.
Don't do it.
We were around one that was...
We saw what happens.
But it was poorly managed.
Friends
don't
let friends open comic book stores. Next thing you know, man, you'll be living under the comic books in your store. The place will smell like cat pee.
Well, see, I don't have the cat, but yeah, I probably would have the mattress that was hidden underneath the orange burlap cloth.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
I don't know if that scene is still in my novel or not. It was in for a very long time, where there's an underage girl working the counter, being harassed by the owner of the building, who's saying, you know, I know they're sleeping up here. I know they're sleeping up here. And right behind him, under the boxes, is one of the owners sleeping on a mattress underneath the orange.
Don't do it. You know, just think of some of the stuff that happened, man. at one point in history, there was a toy dealer that became our arch nemesis. because he wanted too much money for his toys and he wasn't displaying comic books prominently enough in his shop.
Yeah, well.
At another point, there was a trading card guy who became our arch nemesis. Remember
That's
when that
right.
display case arrived and suddenly it had sports cards in it and we were all like...
Yes, I do. And I remember that it was he and I think, was walking next to me when I almost got run over by my best friends or my friends who were no longer my friends at the time.
I mean, okay, that was one benefit to the comic book store because that happened and... You know, Jerry decided he was going to go beat them with something. That's a benefit. It comes with a posse. But usually the posse is kind of, you know, fat and doesn't really want to move. Mm. We'll beat them up if they come in the store, but...
See, I mean, here's where I come from with the idea of a retail... There is nothing in my damn town when it comes to books, right?
Yeah.
I have to...
You
and there's
New
nothing
Hampshire.
In the way...
Sorry.
What's that?
Nothing. I didn't say anything about the state of New Hampshire because I want people to listen to our podcast.
There's nothing in my town and there's nothing in my immediate area in the way of a... independent bookstore. Like, so the other day I asked the people at River Run Books, look at me plugging everybody.
Today. I know, it's awesome.
The other day I asked the people at River Run Books in Portsmouth online, I said, well, is there an equivalent in the Manchester area? And they said, well, that's a trick question.
Mm.
Obviously they didn't want to say that anyone was as good as them because they want me driving out there.
Right.
But I think there is... Okay, and then the coffee shop that's in my town is only open till like the middle of the afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. So it can't host events in the evenings or what have you. Huh. There is a great spot that hosts events and things down in Nashua, Studio 99. But like, so what I'm saying is there's nothing in Merrimack. There may be something in Bedford or Amherst or what have you, but... you know, every once in a while I sort of play with the idea of brick and mortar and what could I do with it, but I don't have that sense to...
Well, maybe a bookstore, but comic books? I don't know.
Well, but you could combine the things, you know? I mean, graphic novels, if nothing else, have a great graphic novel section.
I don't know. Well, I suppose I will come up and visit your store, but... at least get a window that opens. I like to think that so many fights could have been avoided if the window opened and we could actually cool off once in a while.
Yeah. We could go outside onto the back deck and watch the baseball game.
True. Can we play D&D in your store?
Yes.
Can we play Mortal Kombat instead of... You
as
know,
long as we... As long as it's not a Wii in my store.
I know. Poor you.
God damn it. I know, I saw this morning that Mortal Kombat was coming out, a new, they call it a 2D version. I don't know what the fuck the difference, sorry.
You're really mad about it.
I know. I don't know what the difference is between 2D and 3D, because it looks 3D to me, but whatever. It's their return to 2D gaming, and it looks awesome.
See behind the model, like it doesn't... rotate.
It did rotate though a little bit. The trailer was awesome, but I was like, this is not 2D, this is 3D. I don't get it. But it's coming out for Xbox 360 and PS3 and not my little Wii console.
Well, maybe eventually.
Maybe. I mean, I guess if I want Mortal Kombat, I can go buy a game. Any GameCube game will also work in the Wii console. And there was one Mortal Kombat that came out. But it's kind of like I wanted to play Mega Man 2 and not some more recent Mega Man. I kind of want to play Mortal Kombat or Mortal Kombat 2 or like 3 at the, you know, I don't want to go to advance. I'd rather go like get that arcade experience. Unfortunately, it's not available for download as far as I can tell.
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean,
I'm sure I could get an emulator or something.
Yeah, I mean, the main emulator version of Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 is actually pretty good.
Do emulators work with actual, like, USB controllers? Can you get
one?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I've got one.
Because I have a USB controller. I have one that looks... Listener cannot see that.
Come on, man. Think pretty hard. Yeah, it's got a little like $25 Logitech USB gaming controller, and it works really well.
I have the same sort of thing that I haven't used in years. Anyway, so I'm sort of like craving Mortal Kombat, and I wish that I could get involved in the latest one. But
well, after GOAT, I'll see what I can do for you.
All right.
They work pretty well. They take a little bit of tinkering sometimes, but they do work.
Huh.
When I worked for an internet startup in the late 90s, mm-hmm. we obviously blew a lot of money on stupid stuff. And one of the things that we blew money on, we took an older PC, we turned it into a dedicated MAME machine, the emulator that mm-hmm. was commonly used. We downloaded like 900 ROMs for it.
Oh, God.
And then it gets better. We bought an old arcade cabinet.
Nice.
Took all the controls inside, hardwired them to a keyboard in the correct places, and put it all back together. And we had this arcade machine in our office, which could play 900 different games for free with arcade controls. And it was unbelievably cool. You have no idea how far down productivity went in the office after that. People were like, oh, I'm just going to take a 5-minute break. I'll be right back. And then, half an hour later, you go in the back and they're like, look at this. Look, look. You're like, yes, you're playing Punch Out. You're supposed to be working.
Punch Out. Now that's available for the Wii. I can get Punch Out. And the new version of NBA Jam will be a Wii exclusive. But that doesn't look as good as I thought it might.
So. I've never enjoyed a basketball game online. I think it goes back to on a console. I think it goes back to Atari 2600.
Yeah, that's a ways back.
It is. It's a long, long seated grudge.
I really like certain. I kind of like basketball games. I've tried Madden a number of times, the football game. And I've played it a little bit, but I can never really get into it. But whenever I've had a basketball game, I think I had NBA Live 2002 or something, uh-huh. and I played it for 5 or 6 years. I mean, it was fun. And I wish that's sort of the only game that I don't have that I wish I had for my Wii console. It's
the trick is to hit the eBay and start collecting old consoles. That's the only way.
Yeah.
I have a small archive of them.
What I haven't taken advantage of, and part of it is that I don't have a GameCube controller, but
eBay.
I can play any GameCube game I want, and those things are cheap as far as I've been able to tell. Newbury Comics has like a used bin.
All right.
GameCube stuff. So.
So while we're on the subject, whatever subject this happens to be now, it makes me wonder, what are your like three favorite games? If you had to pick just three.
Just
not five. Your site is closed.
My site is closed. Yeah, coming
you
back
only
soon.
Get
but
three.
But I get three. My favorite games of all time. How about you? I'll throw it back at you because I have a hard time thinking of things right off the bat.
Now, are we restricting this to consoles? I know I brought it up, but.
I say restricted to consoles because computer games, there's so much more.
All right. Legend of Zelda, the original for the Nintendo, from the music to the gameplay to the fact that it was the first home RPG I ever had. That's got to be on the list and probably always going to be number one. I love that game because my dad and I would play it all the time. For those of you who strangely aren't familiar with it, hi, Nora. basically, you play through the game once, and there's like 9 dungeons, and then you beat Ganon, the boss, and then you do it over, but all the dungeons have moved on the map. And so I would like play through world one, and then my dad would play through world two, and it was kind of, we'd swap, and it was fun.
Yeah.
So... I'll go with that. Super Mario 3, I think, has got to be on the list because it's I think, in my opinion, the pinnacle of Mario gaming, at least back in the day. Wow, picking a third one. There are so many games that I think, I like that game. Like, Streets of Rage was kind of fun, or Altered Beast, but that one gets boring quickly.
See, now that I eliminated computer games from it, I'm thinking of a bunch of computer games.
I know. It's tough. I don't know.
We'll do computer games separately. So this is just console.
Maybe. And it's tough because those two are so far in front. But maybe Mega Man 2 could get in that third spot. Or, wait. Simon's Quest, I think, actually.
Dark
Horse candidate, but I was like the only person in the world that really liked that game.
You know what, actually, I've been looking, I have like $5 left of Wii points.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at either Castlevania 2 or 3. I can't remember which one.
3
is
pretty
which.
Good also.
So Simon's Quest was 2?
2, yep.
And then Dracula's Curse or something was 3?
Yep.
So I couldn't remember which one I liked more. I loved both of those.
Yeah, it's tough.
So if I now that you've given me some ideas, I think it's a tie between Wii Sports Resort and new Super Mario Brothers Wii, because it's my first console after years and years and years never having one. Like I didn't have I think my family had a Super Nintendo. That was the last thing. Brother had a Nintendo 64. He had everything.
Right.
You know, you had a Dreamcast at one point.
I did. The poor, ill-fated Dreamcast.
So I have not had a console since the original Nintendo, or maybe the Super Nintendo. So getting back into gaming for me was Wii Sports Resort, and which is also what helped me convince my wife to get a game, because we played that for someone's house. And the new Super Mario Brothers Wii is kind of everything that I liked about Super Mario 3, but for a modern console. And I never did well with Super Mario 3, so that it also has that going for it, that I've beaten it and it was fun.
Yeah.
Going old school, and this is why I got Mega Man 2 as a download for the Wii. Was because I loved the Mega Man games, and I read somewhere that 2 was the best, and because I couldn't remember. And
I like 2 very much. I think it's quite cool.
Yeah. It, the damn dragon. I think we talked about that last time.
Stupid dragon, man.
Yeah. And then if I had to pick a third, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, because it's always just about those couple of games. Like, when I was a kid, I had a lot of Nintendo games. You know, that was just thing. I mean, I had, like, I don't know, 40 of them. But, yeah, it was only ever, like, the same three I wanted to play.
I remember going to, now, this isn't necessarily, but there's a story to it. It's not necessarily my all-time favorite. But I remember specifically going out to the Westford Flea Market to pick up a copy of Tecmo World Wrestling.
Crazy.
Because I don't know, I guess I'd probably played WWF Tag Team or something in the arcade, and I was really wanting a wrestling game, and whatever was out for the Nintendo wasn't great at the time, but I'd heard maybe a Nintendo Power.
Did that one have the guys with the masks?
It did.
And wrestler types?
Yeah. I've since played it on an emulator, and I was like, what did I see in this game? But so that was a fun one. I guess this kind of counts because we did eventually get a Nintendo version of it, but I loved playing Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
But that's kind of more of a PC game.
That's true. I first played it in like third grade on our sad little Apple IIe.
I mean, I played it on the at the Langworthy's house way back when.
Yeah.
I was that kid that you invited over who didn't have a computer, who just wanted to sit at your computer all day.
I've known a lot of them over the years, actually.
Yeah.
But eventually you did take over my computer and you started playing SimCity on it.
I did.
Or SimCity 2000, rather.
SimCity 2000, that was a huge one for me. And then when I finally got my computer, I was one of the last to get a copy of Quake that was fully unlockable. So like there was that one that was either free or was like $10 that
right,
you can get at Computer City, and not is that what it's called?
Computer City.
Because there was Computer City, which is where Staples is now in Nashua, which is where I bought my computer. And I remember you giving me the code or whatever that I needed to unlock it.
Statute of limitations has expired, folks.
Yes. Quake and Carmen Sandiego, which are, and of course, Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. Oh, that stupid oxen. I read of those stupid oxen. And oh, they made me so mad I've forgotten how to use pronouns.
Now you can play Oregon Trail on like Facebook and on, you can download it on
iPod.
Your iPod
yeah.
Touch.
But it's the new one with all the idiot cartoon characters. I want old school Oregon Trail.
I was so excited when I got my Pentium 166 with MMX technology.
Archon, which is about, I don't know, 100 times the processing power you need for the Oregon Trail. But yeah.
I got it on my TI-85. I got a copy of Oregon Trail with it, and I held on to that for years. So like through two more PCs, I still kept installing it because it wasn't stupid cartoon characters. It was actually, it maybe wasn't the old school graphics. Yeah. It was kind of that 90s graphics where they were going for realism.
I'm going to interrupt because that's just how I am. The thing about the Oregon Trail, right, is that, okay, when you're a kid, you totally like buy into the idea that like, I'm a banker from Boston. I'm going to fill up a wagon with all this stuff and my family and just go across the country by myself. But later on, you start to play the game and you're like, wait, so our axle broke. We didn't have any axles and we waited for 3 days by the road for what? I mean, these people didn't travel by themselves. They went in groups for protection. What's going on? Who are these other people that they're with? You know, or like, okay, I've run out of food. I have to go hunting. So you go hunting. It says you shot 874 pounds of meat. You can only carry 100. Well, bring the rest to the family, for God's sake, or make your trips. I mean, who is the guy running the wagon? It's like Clark Griswold in National Identification. Like, nope, we got to go back in the car. Let's go, kids. I'm like, no, we got meat. We got to eat. We're going to starve to death in the wilderness. Nope, got to go, kids. Wally World. You know, and like, oh. Yeah. Stand the Oregon Trail, and it's just, it's so, and you can never just cock the wagon and float across the river. You can't do it. It's not possible.
Nope.
It's for suckers. You can almost feel the game laughing at you when you do it, like, oh yeah, go ahead, wagon will float.
Yeah, sure,
put some more bullets in it, why don't you, you know, it's this is not gonna happen. Oh, the Oregon Trail, so many years of frustration when I was a little kid. I mean, just uncontrollable nerd rage at like at age 7, you know.
It was one of the games that was on the, like, there were somewhere between 3 and a half dozen max that would travel around the different rooms at Westlands Elementary School.
Yeah,
and it was that and a Garfield cartoon maker that
you could print out
on the color dot matrix or color dot matrix or something. And those two things, when the computers came around to my classroom each year,
we had this other game, and I can't for the life of me remember what the name of this game was. I want to know, though. I'd love to play it again. And basically, I think it was supposed to teach kids about math, and it was the same kind of premise, like, you're a truck driver, and you have to get your stuff from wherever to wherever. You have X amount of time. If you carry this much weight, it costs you this much in fuel, and so on and so forth. But you've got to, you know, get your stuff there safely, and then you get paid, and then you, you know, you keep going. But the game had like a built-in mechanism where you'd get hungry, or you'd get tired, or things like that, and so you'd have to stop. So you had to plan in your trip. You know, but if you didn't stop, if you didn't rest, if you didn't eat, you would eventually, it would just say you puked. And when you're 7, that's hilarious. So like, we would just play this game wrong all the time. Like, it was supposed to be just valuable life skills. We were just like, he threw up. Yay. You know, and yeah, I think he would eventually die. Like, I think eventually that truck driver would like crash and die. If you never fed him, it was like, you know, proto Tamagotchi or something. But
wow,
I want to know what this game was, because it was insane. But we always played that alternating with Carmen Sandiego and the Oregon Trail, because of course one person would have the discs, and so nobody else could play it while they had the discs. Right. So, but yeah, that one was always very entertaining. But
these kids today, they don't have to deal with that stuff. They can just load whatever they want on their computer.
It's
go to their app stores and download it to their phones.
Oregon Trail, fond yet very angry memories. Actually, you know, did you ever name your characters specifically because they would look funny on a tombstone?
No.
While we're on the subject, for those of you that aren't with the Oregon Trail, when a member of your family dies, like the screen comes up and there's a tombstone and it says
right.
whoever has died. So I'd always name them like, you know, Disco. That kind of thing. But
I wasn't that inventive.
And sometimes you try to fake it out. You're like, Jesus has died. And he's like, maybe in 3 days he'll come back, you know.
Never happened, right?
Never happened. It was very, very sad.
It's very, very disappointing to the Christian in us.
Okay, well, before we finish up with video games, let me ask you a different question. What's your least favorite video game ever?
Oh.
Worst game you ever played. And we'll just stipulate that Gyromite for the Nintendo is clearly the worst game ever made, but...
I don't know. I can't remember any really bad ones from way back when.
Did you ever play E.T. on the Atari 2600?
Wait. Something is almost coming. There was a bad He-Man one, I think. And there was that wrestling one I mentioned. I think the first one I got was not very good. Oh, God. It's almost coming to me. Because there was one where I expected a one particular gameplay experience and did not get it at all, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
We'll see if it comes back to you.
Yeah. Recently, when we got our Wii console and I keep saying console because there was the unfortunate unintended joke when I just said Wii.
Boom.
So the Wii console.
It's just a tiny little thing.
Yes. My mom bought us one of the controllers, and one of the easiest ways to get a controller was with this Wii Play game, which is terrible. I put it in once, and I've since sort of relegated it to the back of the of the little cubby. Anyway, but what would be your worst?
Well. Gyromite was right at the top because when the Nintendo Entertainment System launched, it launched with Rob, the robotic buddy. Is that it? Remote operated buddy. Yeah, that's it. I think. Well, Rob, the little robot, and like he had these little spinning, you know, gyros, and you were supposed to drop them on little buttons with your controller and make stuff happen on the screen. But. You know, the little gyros would spin off the place they were supposed to be, or he wouldn't pick them up right, or he'd drop them, and you couldn't play the game unless he was actually doing what he was supposed to do.
Mm.
So, it was the lamest thing ever. I mean, Rob eventually went to live in our band basement, and got to enjoy a happy afterlife there, but... Oh, talk about disappointing when I was a kid. I mean, because the way they show it on TV, it's like, you know, this member of Voltron will come into your house and play games with you. And you know, it's just this little piece of plastic that doesn't actually respond when you're trying to get him to do anything. So, yeah, it was quite frustrating. I mean, points for innovation. But, you know, that and anything to do with the power pad, I think, were some of my least favorite things as a kid.
We had the when we got our Nintendo, it was with the power pad. So we got not just Mario and Duck Hunt, but Mario Duck Hunt slash
the track game that came.
Yeah, track games. Yeah. Or whatever. So yeah. So I think, in all actuality, getting the Wii Fit Plus with the balance board kind of harkened back for me.
I think so.
To,
yeah.
You know. Anyway.
So
thought of the,
we left a fair amount of miscellany in our podcast planning. Do you want to do the 5-minute news roundup? Because, listener at home, I actually have to go to a really important meeting in 45 minutes. And
you need to shower.
I need to shower because I don't think it will go better if I don't.
I think, yes, five minute news.
Stuff we read on the news this week. I'll start. Time magazine informs us that the quest for fake meat is finally getting better. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit of this article and tell me if you remember anything about Hooper X while we're reading this from Chasing Amy. Okay. Here's a random paragraph. Actually, you know, I'll read the one before for context. This spring, scientists at the University of Missouri announced that after more than a decade of research, they had created the first soy product that not only can be flavored to taste like chicken, but also breaks apart in your mouth the way chicken does. Not too soft, not too hard, but with that ineffable chew of real flesh. When you pull apart the Missouri invention, it disjoins the way chicken does, with a few random strands of, quote, meat hanging loosely. Now, here's the Hooper X paragraph.
Okay.
The vegetarian world is buzzing about the breakthrough in Missouri. Quote, along with ham, chicken has always been the holy grail, says Seth Tibbett, 59, the creator of tofurkey and the dean of soy meat inventors. Tibbett's Oregon-based Turtle Island Foods has become famous for its surprisingly full-flavored fake turkey. But Tibbett says, God, that's a silly name, says efforts to create a credible fake chicken have foundered because of chicken's unique lean texture and its delicate flavor. But where is the quote that really matters? Well, forget it. 5-minute news roundup. The point here seems to be that all vegetarians want is meat.
Mm.
Which, okay, is something I have long suspected in the case of bacon. But, I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, Hooper X's famous speech about Darth Vader and how, you know, blackest brother in the galaxy turns out right. Feeble, crusty old.
Nubian god.
What's a Nubian?
Bitch, shut the fuck up.
You know, trying to tell us that deep down we all want to be white. You know, it's just...
Well, isn't that true?
There's something about the idea that there's one, that there's this abomination of fake meat that exists. But more than that, that this is all vegetarians really want.
It reminds me of a different line from that movie, which is that, well, all any woman wants, but she tears, you know, none, what is some serious deep dicking.
Oh my. I don't know. It's just very odd to me. Very odd. And the only other thing I'll bring up from the news this week, because I don't really want to talk about fake meat. I don't know why I brought it up.
Hey.
You know, I'm reading about, as everybody else was, the little 16-year-old girl in a boat who is trying to be the youngest person to sail continuously around the world. And then, of course, you know, like, ran into boat trouble and went missing.
Right.
There. And apparently, as of this morning, she's fine. It's just her boat is broken.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that got me about the story is her brother already did it when he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And who are these parents?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I am all for telling people that they can do what they dream and that they can, you know, follow their, you know, heart's desire and all that silly stuff. But who are the parents that are like, well, we let the 17-year-old sail around the world in a boat, so why don't we let the 16-year-old do it? I don't understand. Don't these kids have to go to school?
Like, yeah,
schooling on the boat?
I mean, I understand to an extent, but not... I mean, have they not heard about pirates? Have they not heard about...
Seriously. You know, I don't know. I almost threw in a really bad school pun there, but I let it go. The only school she's gonna run into are fish. You know, I let it go. That's yeah.
For a second, you let it go, but yeah.
I tried. I really tried to fight it. I don't know.
The only news that I had written down was something you sent me, which was not really news. It's news in that Ralph Macchio is still alive.
I know, right? why don't you tell us about the video?
Well, so it's a Funnier Die clip that's floating around now, and it's about Ralph Macchio and how he's too wholesome to get any work nowadays. You know, throughout the entire clip, which is meant to be sort of a documentary, he's trying really hard, but he just can't get edgy. At the end of it, you know, one of the best clips is he's hugging a prostitute. The idea being, you know, he wants to be seen with a prostitute. That'll make him seem edgy. And it's just they're hugging. Nothing illicit, explicit about it at all. And he says, she says, you know, this is still $50, right? And he says, oh, but it's worth every dime.
Poor Ralph Macchio.
And then I love the part where, I mean, he says he's 48, which I didn't believe. And then I went online and he said, it's true. He is 48. One of the other best parts is he's standing next to a poster of the new Karate Kid movie with Will Smith's kid in it, doing a really high kick. He's trying to do that kick. That's great. He also does the crane kick on somebody in the bar. And so when good. He goes, instead of saying, oh shit, he says, oh shoot. You know? It runs out, whereas everyone else in the thing is foul mouthed. So
I'm concerned about the new Karate Kid movie. Actually, I mean, I read an interview this week with Jackie Chan, and he was like, "Yeah, well, that movie's pretty ridiculous." I don't know, which makes me worry about one of two things. One is Jackie Chan trying to make it realistic. It's still the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And two...
Who's doing kung fu in this movie? That's the whole other thing.
But... Yeah, and I mean, he's like 3 feet tall. I mean, you know, that's a little worrying. But the second part is, Pat Morita died. Can we stop picking on him for the fact that he really was a big racial stereotype in that movie? I mean,
that would be nice.
Dog's life, man. I think the only thing that's going to bring this podcast back is the inclusion of Carl Douglas's kung fu fighting under this segment.
See, if we were done, then that would be the perfect way to go out, right?
I guess there are only two things left. At opposite ends of the spectrum of interest. One is the World Cup, which, right. You know, is big in Europe, much like Chris DeBerg or Falco.
It was big at my old office too. Actually, two of the guys that worked there were talking about the World Cup, and one of them wore a soccer jersey once or twice to work. I mean, they were really into it, and I was kind of.
Do you read the blog Stuff White People Like?
I don't.
A recent entry was on the World Cup. And it points out that, you know, these people will wear a soccer jersey on average twice a decade. It's about
right. These people, one of them was a soccer coach, and I think one of them had who were really into soccer. So these were not your sort of stereotypical.
I see.
Like, you like soccer once a decade. No, they were really into it. And in that way, in a lot of ways, I'm sad not to be at that office, but... Sad not to be hearing about the World Cup from people who are really passionate about it.
I wish I weren't here. I wish I could trade places with you. I'm, you know, apparently 3/4 of the people on this island are going to watch this stupid thing. And it's England. And you may have heard, I don't think they publicize it much, that English soccer fans are a little annoying.
I've not heard that.
It's true. You know, occasionally there's some public rioting or drunkenness. And... the first match that counts for anything for England is today. For the past 2 weeks, people have been putting the English St. George flag on their car and driving around and painting their faces and painting buildings and throwing parties. And now, yeah.
And now for something completely different.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
Hey, wait a minute. Hi, future.
Hey. Kids. Hey, dude.
Okay, wait. If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of? 69, dudes!
Like, I blinked.
Rufus!
And... speaking of Rufus, yeah, I was just listening to George Carlin's You Are All Diseased this morning, and... I just got to say that I can't remember if I listened to things with as much swearing in them with my first baby as I am this time.
I've listened to George Carlin, it doesn't feel wrong.
No. And he is very belligerent in that CD, which I think was recorded somewhere in Clinton's second term based on some of the political material.
I remember seeing it on HBO with my dad.
Yeah, it was the other day, every once in a while, emusic.com sends me something trying to get me back.
Right.
And eMusic will offer me 75 free
downloads.
I was going to go somewhere worse. So eMusic will send me 75 free downloads along with the 24 that you'd get with a normal monthly purchase. So for the price of $12, I've got 99 songs I can download.
Wow.
And I just downloaded like 4 or 5 Carlin this time. And that was one of them.
Nice.
But somehow we lost the end of our recording or something.
Obviously, right? Goated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. We were, I'm sure, captivating you with the World Cup or whatever we were talking about.
Right.
But alas, we're in the future now. We've actually been trying for like 5 days now to fix it?
Yeah, something like that.
I've actually seen that World Cup match now. I went to a World Cup party. That was interesting. I spent most of my time outside grilling chicken for everybody. It was kind of funny because the English scored in the first like 5 minutes.
Mm.
And then they didn't score again. And then they screwed up and we scored. And so for the rest of the match, the people I were watching with who cared about, quote, football, end quote,
right.
Were all like, wow, the Americans are really playing pretty well. Huh. Well, I guess you got to give it to them. They're actually playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Huh. They're doing quite well on defense. Gee. Oh, well. So that was kind of fun, after a while. And people were like, so what about in your country? And I'm like, yeah, we don't really... Soccer, no, not so much. It's kind of like rugby or field hockey, where they're for girls to play in college. And I don't mean that in a sexist way, but it's true. Like, you know,
right.
They're kind of the people that play sports that take place in rectangles on grass, excepting American football.
My college roommate played on, if you can believe it, there was, for a year or so, a Bradford College soccer team.
Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah. You loved your roommate.
I you know what? I was roommates with him for 3 years and nobody understood why.
No. Not at all.
I got along fine with him. But he was on the soccer team and, you know.
Did you ever play the soccer as a kid? Did they ever force you to play soccer?
I did not. No, I was Little League. I was back in the day when Little League was still the thing that you
played. I desperately wanted to do Little League and then not so much. My mom was like, no. And then one day she came home and she's like, I was talking to some people. They said you're the right size for football. You should play football. Like, thanks, Mom. That totally helps my self-esteem. Bad enough that my jeans say husky on them.
Yes.
Son of a...
Husky jeans. I think I'd forgotten that they don't still have husky jeans.
They must. You must have to humiliate children somehow.
Somehow.
And thankfully, I've graduated to numbers, and the numbers are not, like, well, that much higher than my age. So, it's... but, you know.
No, I haven't gotten that. No, my numbers are probably 2 years older than me right now.
Nice. Well, that's okay. That's reasonable. This is my new diet. We're just going to keep those numbers in proportion and take out the rest of it.
Exactly.
However it has to happen.
I like that diet. I think there are lots of people in America in particular who go by that diet.
Could work. I think it could work. I think it's going to be the new thing.
We should write a book.
That's right. We should write
a book. Start a podcast.
That's right.
Or, well, another podcast.
Now, I mean, of course, we'd have to, like, work on stuff for the diet. Like, wait, if I can squeeze into the jeans, but there's, like, fat over the jeans, does it count as following my diet? Because technically I'm wearing the jeans. Like, we're going to have to, like, outlaw coat hangers to pull up the zippers and stuff or else.
True that. Yeah.
But we'll map it out.
So,
yeah.
What else? What have you been up to in these 4 or 5 days, aside from cooking chicken and explaining why we don't play soccer in America?
Yeah, well, that took a while, I gotta say. What have I been doing? I've been working on my dissertation. I had a big scary meeting about the dissertation right after our goat, actually.
Right.
Which went well. I was informed that if my next chapter doesn't, you know, suck, then I will actually be able to, like, move on to the final phase, where, you know, I guess I fight the big boss. So,
right.
That's pretty cool, because right now I'm still stuck in that stupid flying dragon stage, which, as we've talked about, is just
right.
The worst.
But after the flying dragon, you have, like, the things that come out of the walls, and then
I'm perfectly cool with those. It's just the stupid dragon. I think it's because it starts you way back in that level as compared to some of the other levels. So, yeah. It's like the Kid Icarus of flying dragons. So, anywho. So I did that. I updated for the first time in 2 weeks, which is a little embarrassing that it was actually that much of a gap. But stuck a little news roundup section in there. Because I keep...
Bill and Ted...
And Bill and Ted, which everybody should go and appreciate, which we certainly appreciate being in the future as we are, but yeah, I stuck that in there because I keep getting all these links that I bookmark and I think, well, I can't actually make an article out of that, but it's kind of something I'd like people to know. So, yeah, it's kind of my news service. Who knows how often I'll actually do it, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, and try to, you know, have articles the other days. So, yeah, so that's coming along. I noticed a subtle change to Geek Force 5.
Yes. Well, we're getting closer. I think I'm sort of aiming for 11:59 p.m. on June 30th as my getting it done
it
in
still
June.
Still counts. But be careful, because if you do it Eastern Standard, then it's going to be July here.
Oh, God damn it.
Until 6:59 p.m. on that day.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Just saying.
We have a few different... we have five mascots that come along with the new Geek Force 5, and I decided to reveal one of them. I have no idea how I'll reveal the others in terms of the schedule, but I have that, and I did a five cast for the first time in ages. I'm going to do one of those a week or so.
Crazy.
Leading up to it. So, yeah, I got the Photoshop file the other day from the designer.
Nice.
And now I just have to cut it up, CSSify it, do some fun stuff, and start actually writing some articles.
Content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, content.
That's always nice, my problem.
Yeah, the content is, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to find like where that half an hour to an hour or more will be each day.
Great. Yeah. So, how's the stay at home thing been going?
It's been going all right. You know, as we speak, the baby is deciding to wake up. I'm hearing not a scream necessarily, but a cry here and there.
Kid, we're trying to goat over here.
Yeah, I know.
Give us a break.
The nerve. No, it's been going well. This week has been particularly okay, starting with yesterday, which was a completely crazy day.
Oh.
But here's the thing. Maybe this is the trick to stay-at-home parenting. A friend of mine sent me a episode from season 3 of Doctor Who, right? Which our friend Mr. Hicks has been telling me about for years, and I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who before now.
British seem to like it for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I saw an episode and loved it, and I watched it while I was feeding the baby, and she was good all day. And so maybe the secret to a happy baby is Doctor Who in the morning.
Well, it always put me to sleep as a kid. So
this episode
could be it.
It could be it. This episode was actually really good. And what I wonder is, now I want to see more, but this episode featured very little Doctor Who. It was called Blink. I guess it was nominated for some awards and so on and so forth. And it was very well paced, and the acting was great, and there were these weird statues that if you looked at them, you were in trouble. If you looked at them and then blinked, you were in trouble. Something
interesting.
Like that.
Well, I'll watch it if you insist.
Just watch that one episode.
All right.
You know, if you know, put it on in the evening, and either it will pique your interest and supercharge your creativity, or it'll put you to sleep.
You know, actually, speaking of things that you shouldn't look at directly, In two senses. On Friday night, I actually went to see the Clash of the Titans movie, finally, showing on campus. Of course, features in Medusa, which you should look at, but...
Right.
It was, have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It was something.
I've heard that Qui-Gon Jinn says release the Kraken or something.
He does, yeah. Apparently that's quite important. Who knew? And all the other gods in that movie appear, but they're kind of, you know, just other gods. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, they're just people who stand on clouds and go, what? Okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
It was interesting. All that build up for the Kraken, and I got to tell you, it lasts 2 minutes.
Yeah.
For 2 minutes of the movie.
That's about how long it lasts in the original, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it lasts a little bit longer. It probably should have lasted only 2 minutes in the original because they had that horrible stop motion.
Yeah. Well, you know, this did feature the giant scorpions.
That's good.
Like the other movies, so...
Did it feature a flying mechanical owl? That's
you know, it makes a cameo appearance. It's more or less, you know, somebody spots it, and then somebody says, what is that? And somebody says, oh, nothing, it's junk. And throw it back in the box, so thank God for that.
Thank God for that, you know.
Speaking of movies, it put me right to sleep. Actually, today, was it today on Twitter or was it last night that you pointed out the existence of the trailer for Sofia Coppola's new Somewhere Company?
It was today, yeah. I spotted it on kotke.org yesterday. One of the, like you, I end up with tons of tabs in my browser, and it was one of those ones that's like, I need to get this out there. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I have not seen Marie Antoinette.
It's pretty good. It was interesting to watch that and then go to Versailles, where they actually got to shoot a fair bit of the movie and kind of, you know, like, oh, it still looks like a movie set. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the trailers for that one looked good back in the day. I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
But this new one, Somewhere, mm-hmm. is, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a dad and I can sort of, a dad to two daughters. And I can sort of see into the future, but seeing him having to, you know, hang out with his daughter, and it's that relationship just really was interesting to watch just in a trailer.
Yeah. Well, I will be home when the movie comes out in December. We should go and see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
We can live goat the movie.
Yeah,
sure, to the delight of people in the cinema.
Go to an early morning screening or something.
That's right. They're like, are you recording the movie? No, not at all. We're recording watching the movie. It's totally fine.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. And it makes me want to go back. And it's been ages since I watched Lost in Translation. I have that hanging around to watch. Maybe I'll dig up Marie Antoinette, too.
Yeah, totally. So you forgot to mention why the day was so crazy yesterday.
Oh, yes. Well, it started off with Doctor Who, and then the middle part of the... then I got the Photoshop file for the website.
Yeah.
So those were two things in the morning. The middle portion of the day was dedicated to, yes, trying to purchase an iPhone, like everyone else in the goddamn world. I had money set aside for it from a previous project. So I was...
embezzled.
Yes. And I really wanted to do the first day thing.
Do you get like a free t-shirt?
No, I did not. I've gotten a free t-shirt for going to store openings before, but never for a product. So anyway, I was going to pre-order it and then go on the day, which is next Thursday or so.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-ordering through the website was proving to be ridiculous. Especially when you got to the AT&T part of it,
wow.
where they have to dial in and figure out whether your account is blah, blah, I don't know. So I said, oh, well, let's get Melody out of the house. I'll take the baby. We'll go down to the Apple store and maybe I'll have better luck there.
Nice combo is for the baby to hang in.
Yeah, you know. Actually, she slept through most of
it. I'm sure like two or three people were there at most.
Yeah, two or three. I got there and their solution was to send me to their website just from within the store. So no secret sort of way of getting your iPhone ordered through Apple. Nope, you just go to the website there in the store.
Fail.
Melody lasted for about 45 minutes maybe. and then started screaming her head off. And I said, you know what? I'm probably going to have to watch her next Thursday. This means I will probably not be standing at the store waiting for the iPhone. I will have it delivered to my house. So, but good. You know, I figured that out. So that was the whole middle portion of the day. It wasn't until 5 o'clock, after starting at like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, that I was able to get my order through. Good that I did, though, because now they're being pushed back a week or more, just a day later.
That's crazy.
So that was the middle of the day. I got an iPhone, or pre-ordered the iPhone. And then the evening was the 48-hour film project screening here in There's a Baby, screaming.
Oh, yes, there it is. I got soccer hooligans screaming out my window. Do you need to get
nope. that? All of
them. Listening, quiet.
Shh, listen. Oh, there's a plug. oh, I think she might be starting up again.
All right.
So I'll just finish and say, hold that thought.
I'll entertain the crowd. All right, everybody. It's just me, John, but I can still see into Chris's house, so let's see what's going on. From where I'm sitting, I got a nice view of Chris's bookshelves. You know, pretty much what you'd expect from a writerly, comic geeky kind of guy. I see a lot of graphic novels, some anime. I can only make out half the title on that one. Mine something. I don't know. You know, your anarchist cookbook, your, you know, Robert Jordan books. There's a nice surprise. Looks like the Watchmen graphic novel. Oh, here's Chris. Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Hey.
And he's brought a baby.
I brought a baby. To the guest host.
Hey, I've never seen you before, kid. How you doing?
There she is.
This is the podcast just turns into your grandparents. Look at her. She's so cute. Look at her. Just like it. Yeah, we'll just do that for 10 minutes.
Just for 10, 15 minutes, yeah.
That'd be awesome. Then people can get to their babies and go out.
Yeah. Like, oh, generation goat's gone soft.
That's right. No, we have not. We're going to sacrifice that kid to this goat.
So, 48-hour film project.
Yeah.
Was done over the course of the weekend between when we recorded the first part of the goat and now.
Mm-hmm.
We did a project. Oh,
the baby objects.
The baby objects. Basically, on Friday, I probably explained this on the goat before, but on Friday, I was in Manchester and we found out our genre, a prop, a character, and a line of dialogue we needed to incorporate into our film.
Ah, yes.
And
you have done this before with Kaylee.
Yeah. And then in 48 hours, the movie needs to get made. So this time around, I wasn't going to be able to act in it because I had something on Saturday, but I did stop by and help. Participate in the story part of it. And oh, the baby objects.
Baby hates the story.
The baby hates the story.
you should probably.
Baby's probably just got gassed, you know. You know, as babies do. And this is one instance where the viewer, the listener.
Sorry, everybody at home. I'm watching Chris lose a fight to a baby.
This is one instance where the listener should be happy that smell does not transmit through.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, so the 48-hour film project this year, we ended up with a dark comedy, which was unique to us, or unique to two teams got dark comedy. Then we had to incorporate a box and a plastic surgeon named either Clark or Claire Larson. And the line of dialogue was, I need to tell you something. And so by Sunday evening, there was a film. And yesterday we got to see them screened. And it was a hoot.
Awesome.
Ours was pretty fun. Involving a kid giving the history of plastic surgery, basically.
Crazy.
So that was fun. So that was yesterday.
You know, it occurs to me that Melody is our first guest on Generation Goat.
That's true. I think there was one instance where Kaylee, like, peeked her head in while
that's
we were...
That's true. Recording. But this is our first sit-down guest.
That's right.
It seems wrong to not ask her questions.
Okay.
About her day. So, Melody, why don't you tell us a little bit about your website and what you do with that.
What do you do with your website? Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing? Yeah, that's what we do with our websites.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by, the goat. It was nice seeing you today.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's, you know, she's the silent type.
Yeah, that's all right. Everybody needs one of those in their posse. So it looks like we're going to have to leave Lost for part two, or three, as it were.
That's true. You know, and maybe that's not such a bad thing, because we didn't rush through it, but, you know, when we recorded it the last time, we only had like 10 minutes of Lost. We could do a whole show on Lost.
Perhaps we should play Lost at the same time that we record The Goat, and then people can play it over their own version of Lost.
There you go.
We could. That'll be boring.
Jorge Garcia, when they were recording their final, or I guess next to final episode of Geronimo Jack's Beard, they were actually watching the episode in the background. Ooh, they had the sound down, but they were watching the episode, and every once in a while they'd be on some topic, and then they'd catch it out of the corner of their eye, and you'd be, what is going on?
Crazy. Well, you know. For next time. But for now, everybody, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah. Melody, you want to say goodbye? No.
Not even a little bit. All right. Well, have a great week.
Yes, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.